from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Tuesday, July 12th. Coming up, as many states move to further restrict or ban abortion, we'll learn about a study that looks at the potential impact. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. President Joe Biden is praising Highland Park's mayor and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker for their responses to last week's July 4th mass shooting. Pritzker and Mayor Nancy Rotering were at the White House yesterday with Biden to mark enactment of the new federal Safer Communities Gun Control Law.
We had a number of conversations immediately after the attack in Highland Park, and I've been impressed with the way they've handled things. It's been extraordinary. And as the three of us have discussed, we have more to do.
Over the weekend, Pritzker called for passage of a state ban on the sale of assault weapons and a curb on high-capacity ammunition magazines, like those used in Highland Park. The governor also expressed support for changes in Illinois' red flag law. The Urbana City Council voted last night to allow new jail construction within city limits. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the new jail will have fewer total beds in a more modern facility.
Champaign County Sheriff Dustin Harmon closed the old, deteriorating jail in downtown Urbana last week. After a narrow majority of Urbana City Council members approved the new jail special use permit yesterday, Champaign County can expand the satellite jail operating off Lerman Avenue. Harmon says the $20 million expansion will mean better conditions for inmates.
Think about four walls with a door and a small window. So that would be an isolation cell. At the consolidated facility, how that will differ is that somebody may have that cell, but they'll also have a common area where they can go and, you know, they can play cards with another inmate, or now they don't have the ability to have any of that interaction at all.
Champaign County will pay for the new jail facilities, which would open in mid-2024. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Dobbs ruling that reversed Roe v. Wade lets state governments control people's access to abortion. But according to Professor Robin Wilson, the ruling may also limit transgender people's access to health care in the future. Wilson is a law professor at the University of Illinois College of Law. Her work focuses on LGBTQ rights, especially transgender rights across the U.S. Wilson says states could regulate transgender people's bodily autonomy through bills that target them.
So I think what it really means is that trans people, to the extent that they are trying to avail themselves of surgery or hormones, that those medical processes can be regulated just like abortion can be regulated by the states.
Although Wilson says anti-trans legislation probably will not come to Illinois, she says trans people in neighboring red states could be at risk. Here's the latest on COVID-19 in Champaign County. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 46 people hospitalized with COVID-19. Four people are in the ICU. That's a big increase after the relative stability seen over the past 2 months. According to the CDC, Champaign, McLean, Coles, and 25 other Illinois counties are rated at a high community level of COVID-19. The CDC recommends that people in high community areas wear a mask at indoor public places and on public transportation. Still to come, we'll hear from a researcher who's looked into the potential impact of the Supreme Court's recent ruling on abortion rights. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Join WILL on our 10th annual private rail trip to the East Coast, October 27th through November 4th. Climb aboard beautifully restored train cars and travel in style to your destination. Your itinerary includes guided sightseeing tours in Boston and Salem, with a stop in Plymouth to visit a living history museum. You'll also have time to explore these historic cities on your own. Find the complete trip schedule and pricing at will.illinois.edu/willtravel.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Now it's time for a look at the latest in health policy news from Side Effects Public Media's partner, Tradeoffs.
The Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade is a tidal wave. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Tradeoffs. Within a matter of weeks, abortion could be banned or severely restricted in about half the country. What happens to people who want but won't be able to access this procedure? To answer that question, I spoke with Diana Green Foster. Diana is a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, and she led a landmark research project called the Turnaway Study, which looked at the impact being denied an abortion has on a person's life.
So when we started the study, the common dialogue around abortion in the United States was that abortion hurts women. And this was an idea that had been put forth by people opposed to abortion without a lot of data to support it. And if you restrict access to abortion on the basis that abortion hurts women, well, then you really need to ask, what is the harm of not getting an abortion if you felt like you needed one? So the Turnaway study was poised to do both.
The study recruited nearly 1,000 women who were seeking abortions at 30 clinics across the country. Some of the participants got the abortion, others were turned away because they were too far along in their pregnancies. Diana's group checked in with women every 6 months for 5 years, nearly 8,000 interviews.
What we see is that there's a very large difference in physical health. We see that people are more likely to report chronic pain, more likely to report hypertension if they're denied that abortion than if they receive it.
Let's turn to the economic impacts, Diana. Your research found people who were denied abortions were nearly 4 times more likely to live in poverty. They had more debt, and they were less likely to be able to work full time. What stands out to you about the economic consequences people denied abortion could face in a post-Roe world?
This end of Roe will make things worse because there'll be more people forced to have babies before they're ready. And one interesting thing, it's not if you have in your mind this is a teenager forced to have a kid at 17. Yes, that happens. But the more common is someone in their 20s who's already struggling to raise the kids she already has. And so the idea is that she's now going to be caring for more kids. And so it's not just her life that's affected, it's her existing children, and it's the well-being of that future children that she'd like to have.
Finally, let's talk about the social consequences. Over the long term, Diana, how did the social lives of women in your study who were denied an abortion differ from those who received an abortion?
They're less likely to be in high-quality relationships. They're less likely to have achieved other aspirational plans.
Aspirational plans like what?
Well, some people say, I want to finish my community college degree. I want to have a more stable home. I want to take good care of this baby. But even including child-related aspirational plans, people who are denied abortions are less likely to set and achieve aspirational plans.
If people take one thing away from your research, Diana, about what life in America will be like now that millions of people can no longer get abortions, are going to be denied these abortions, what should it be?
It'll be the people who already have the least resources who are going to be forced to experience the greatest hardship. So this is going to deepen inequality, and this is going to make people whose lives are hard even harder.
That was Diana Green Foster, lead author of the landmark Turnaway Study. To hear more of my conversation with Diana, including how abortion access has impacted her family's life and a new post-Roe study she's working on, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.
Find more health news from Trade-Offs, Side Effects Public Media, and WILL at IllinoisNewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 83 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Emily Hayes, Sydney Wood, and Dan Gorenstein. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.